Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in Great Doctrines of the Bible. Today we'll be looking at the doctrine of redemption. Redemption. Before we begin today, I just want to mention that in every one of our studies that have been broadcasted over the Pastor's Study for the past 6 years, is available on audio cassette tape. If you would just write me at the address given at the end of the broadcast and tell me the name of the study, and I'll get that right out to you. Also available absolutely free is an audio cassette tape catalog listing all the studies on the Pastor Study. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. But as always, before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again I thank you for this opportunity to come and open up thy holy word. And we thank you for preserving your inspired, infallible, inerrant words in this good old King James Bible. And Father, we just pray that you would take your word and minister to us individually as we need to be ministered unto, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd edify and bless the listener today. And again, thank you for this opportunity, Father, and the honor and the privilege it is to teach and preach your word. Father, if we accomplish anything today, it'll be because of thee, and we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for whatever you'll choose to do this very day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Romans chapter 3 with me. In verse number 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, redemption is defined as following: repurchase of captured goods or prisoners, the act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent. Now, the first point we want to see is redemption of the past. Redemption of the past. To completely comprehend redemption, we must understand what state we are being redeemed or bought back from. Well, first of all, we're being redeemed or bought back from the curse of the law. The curse of the law. Let's turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3 with me, if you would. And let's look at verse 13 together. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. See, the law, we were redeemed or bought back from the curse of the law. And because we all come short of the glory of God, amen, we're all guilty, amen. You and I, our penalty, we should have been nailed to that cross. We are cursed by the law, but Jesus Christ redeemed us from that curse by going to that cross for us. Amen. By suffering, amen. By taking all the beatings, by being nailed to that cross, and by shedding his precious blood, for allowing himself to be humiliated in our place. Also, we're looking at redemption of the past. We were redeemed not only from the curse of the law, but also from the bondage of the world and sin. The bondage of the world and sin. Again, Galatians chapter 4 with me, if you would. In verse number 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So you and I, before we were redeemed by Christ, amen, we were under the bondage of the world, amen, the elements of the world, the course of this world. Look at in verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather have known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? And of course, here in Galatians, he's dealing with the Galatians on a doctrinal point. In Galatians, this book deals with, there were those who had come to Galatia and teaching that, there were some works involved, amen, involved with salvation. And of course, Paul was trying to straighten them out. And he's saying here, you've known God. God knows you. You know the right way. And why would you want to go back? You've been redeemed by Christ from the world, the bondage of the world. Why would you want to go back under that law, under that bondage of the world? Look also in Galatians chapter 5 with me, in verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Again, he's trying to straighten them out. Before you and I, before Christ redeemed us, amen, we were under the bondage of world and sin. And the Galatians were going back under bondage. They were believing this heresy about there was you weren't just saved by faith through Christ, amen, saved by grace through faith, and kept by that faith, amen. And Christ not only saved you, but he keeps you, amen. Now, what was the price of that redemption? The price of that redemption. Look with me in 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter with me. And chapter 1 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not, these are the things you weren't redeemed with. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. But, this is how we were redeemed. This was the price of redemption. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the price of redemption, my friend, was the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was without blemish. He was as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus was sinless. Amen. Now, silver and gold, amen, cannot redeem us. Why? Well, one of the reasons is they fall under the curse. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17 and 19, we see that God, after the fall of Adam and Eve, he puts a curse on the serpent, on Eve, and on Adam. He curses the ground. Amen. And silver and gold come from the ground, from the earth, and so they're under the curse. Look also with me in Revelations chapter 5. Again, the price of the redemption. See, that's the problem with Christians today. I think we forget, amen, the price of our redemption. Because if we did, most Christians wouldn't live the way they live. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How? By the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. The price of redemption, the precious sinless blood of Jesus Christ, and that redemption applies to everyone. He died. He shed his precious blood. He paid that precious price of redemption for all of mankind. And all the individual needs to do to receive that redemption is to receive Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, receive him as their personal Savior, as the payment for their sins. Amen. Going back to Romans chapter 3 again. Romans chapter number 3 with me. And we want to look at verses 24 and 25. Being justified freely, see, it didn't cost us anything, our justification. There wasn't anything we had to do to earn it. Being justified freely, how? By his grace, God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here it is in verse 25, who God has set forth to be a propitiation. A propitiation, the payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God set forth his own Son to be the propitiation, to be the payment. Amen. And it's through faith in the blood that declares you and I righteous. And it's through faith in his blood that our sins are remitted. Our past sins are remitted. Our future sins, our present sins are remitted or taken away. The second point we want to see here is redemption of the future. Redemption of the future. The indwelling Holy Spirit is a testimony to the fact that someday God will even redeem out corruptible bodies. So each believer, each born-again child of God has the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is a testimony to the fact that someday that God will redeem each and every one of us out of these corruptible bodies. First, let's look at Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 23. And not only they, and it's referring to the creation in verse 22, but not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So because you and I, as born-again believers, have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we're groaning in our inside. We can't wait for that day for us to be redeemed, amen, out of our corruptible bodies and to receive that new glorified body, like Christ's body. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted in Christ, it's speaking about, after that you heard the word of truth. So, once you hear the gospel of the grace of God, you hear it. You have to hear it first to be able to trust in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, after you believed on Christ, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's like the Holy Spirit's like a down payment, amen, for what's to come, the rest of it, amen, the redemption of our bodies, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's our bodies, under the praise of His glory. Now, we have a beautiful picture of type of redemption, of how Christ redeems us, how He is our kinsman redeemer. And that's what I want to look at, our final point in our doctrine of redemption, the kinsman redeemer. But we have this beautiful picture of type in the book of Ruth. Now, it was necessary that the one who did the work of redeeming the slave be the kinsman of the slave. Turn with me in Leviticus. Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25 to see the rules of redemption here of the kinsman redeemer. Leviticus 25 and verses 47 to 49. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him, of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Now, let's turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth with me, if you would. In the book of Ruth, let's turn to the book of Ruth, chapter number 3 here. Ruth chapter 3 with me. And when we get to Ruth chapter 3, amen, we want to look at verse number 9. Ruth chapter 3. Look at what it says here in the Word of God in verse 9. And he said, who art thou? Of course, this is Boaz speaking. He said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Jesus Christ, amen, who Boaz was a picture of type was of, Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Look with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 is saying that for as much then as the children are flesh and blood, so wasn't Christ made flesh and blood, amen. So he could be our kinsman redeemer. See, Jesus is related to men because he became flesh. And as a result of that, hence, he is eligible to be our redeemer. Now, the second thing about the kinsman must have the price and be able to redeem. Again, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 50 to 53. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him under the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant shall it be with him. And if there be yet many years behind, according unto them he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years under the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his year shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with vigor over him in thy sight. Again, the book of Ruth with me. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. So we see then the kinsman must have the price according to Leviticus and be able to redeem. Ruth chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. So we see that Boaz had the price and was able to redeem Ruth. We also see, as again Boaz was a picture of type of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only was Boaz willing, but Christ was willing. And he had the price and he was able to redeem us. Look first in Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. In verse number 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And what we read here in Hebrews is this. Christ came to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was to provide his Son a propitiation or a payment for our redemption. Amen. And Christ willingly came and did the will of his Father. He was willing to redeem us. Look in the Gospel of Luke with me. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Here we have Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was to be crucified, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The last point about a kinsman redeemer, the kinsman redeemer should not himself need the redemption which he proposes to provide for others. In other words, a slave could not redeem another slave, another captive. Again, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 with me. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our possession. He didn't need to be redeemed, amen. He's our great high priest. Amen for that. Praise the Lord for that. And then 1 Peter. 1 Peter with me. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse 21 of 1 Peter 2. Down to the end of the chapter. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare his sins, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripe ye were healed. See? Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree for the purpose that we being dead to sins, under bondage to sin, should live unto righteousness. Verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So again, we see that in the book of Ruth, a beautiful picture of type, and Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Ruth, amen, the Gentile being, picture of the church being redeemed by Christ. And again, three things about a kinsman redeemer we just looked at. It was necessary that the one who did the work of redeeming the slave be the kinsman of the slave. And we know because Jesus came in the flesh and became flesh, he's eligible to redeem us. Then the kinsman must have the price and be able to redeem. And of course, Christ was willing to redeem us, and he was the price. His precious blood was the price of our redemption. And then the kinsman redeemer should not himself need the redemption which he purposes to provide for another. And Christ didn't need to be redeemed himself, praise the Lord. He's our great high priest, and he's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So those listening today, the question, have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you repented of your sins? Is there come a time, a place, a day in your life where you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell because of your sins, but you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, asking him to forgive you of your sins, and believing in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day. Yes, that you believed he paid the price of redemption to buy you back from the bondage of this sin and this world and the curse of the law. My friend, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you do that today? The Bible tells us quite clearly, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, we've come to the conclusion of our study today on the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Again, if you'd like a copy of this study today, just write me and request it at the address given at the end of the broadcast. Until we meet again on the pastor's study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.